Appreciate that. Today we're going to be wrapping up our sermon series in 1 John, Renewed by Love. And I hope that you've had a chance to look into this special. It's a short letter, but Pastor John, later in his life, is pouring out his heart to his people, defending them against doubt and discouragement. And I hope that that's been a sense that you've had as you've looked at this. I want to encourage you to keep looking at God's Word. If you're not sure where to read, take some time and get into 1 John this summer and just keep focusing on God's Word. And we're going to talk about that this morning in a special way. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to look at our last message in this series. Father, I thank you so much that you are our God. You delight in people. God, you know our brokenness, and yet you shower, radiate love from your heart, from your face. You eagerly desire relationship with real people right here, right now. God, we just want to ask that you will lead us now as we look at your word. We want to submit ourselves to your authority. We pray, Lord, that you claim full authority over this teaching time, Lord, that we submit ourselves to your ways and your will and your word. Be a light to our path, we pray. Pierce darkness, Jesus, I pray. And Father, I thank you that these are living words, even though they're written so long ago to ancient Near Eastern churches. Father, you are so powerful that your word transcends time and space and transforms and changes lives in the here and now. It changes eternity. And we thank you for that, and we pray that you would do that. Even as we hear the word of God today, we thank you that it's living and active, and we welcome your life and your activity among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a question for you this morning. What do you have, where do you have the most confidence? Where might that be? This morning, I was confident that when I rolled over to my alarm, the basement would still be there, and the foundation of the house and the bathroom that I needed to go to before I did anything else was still going to be there. I had confidence in my vehicle would be there, and the Starbucks for my coffee would be there when I drove down Highway 21. You've been expressing confidence already this morning. When I preach, I often think of the fact that I have confidence in this stage, that it's fairly sound, and I'm not going to fall through a trap door or something like that. I hope. I have confidence in these things. You've already been expressing confidence today. But where do you have the most confidence? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a character trait. Maybe it's retirement savings. Or where do you derive your confidence from? Where do you have the most? Where do you put your full stock and where do you hold that today? See, I want you to consider your confidence, because you and I were made for confidence. You're made for confidence, and a rightly placed confidence. Not simply confidence in ourselves or another human being, or savings or not savings, or economy or not economy, or politicians or not politicians. Or even, you know, Canada's turning 150 years old, not even a nation, although that's really good. Don't get me wrong. You are made for a confidence that's bigger, broader, stronger, wider, higher, deeper than that. You're made for confidence. And so I want to look at that with you this morning in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It's not a lot of verses, it's only three. But it's very important, very powerful, very significant in the life of those who call themselves followers of Jesus. And maybe you're not there this morning, but we want to invite you into a life with Jesus. It's important words. It's in your bulletin this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. It's on the screen. And as we wrap up this series in 1 John, I want to just consider with you what John's been writing here. See, in verse 13, he says, I write these things to you. So that means he's summarizing all that's been said in the book so far, in the letter so far. I write these things. You know, our first message, we talked about how we, because of Jesus, can be cleansed from all unrighteousness through him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of who Jesus is, he's alive. And he cleanses and he changes and he forgives. John is writing these things so that you have confidence in that. So that you have confidence when you walk as Jesus walked. You can have confidence that God is with you. His favor is shining on you. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Joe talked to us about, hello, my name is Child of God. John writes these words so that you have confidence that when God says you are his son or daughter because of what Jesus has accomplished, you can have confidence in that. I write these things so that you, right here, right now, June 25th, 2017, can call yourself daughter of the Most High, son of the living God because of Jesus the Christ. That's your name. That's who you are. That's your identity. I write these things so that you can be dispensers of real love. So that when you're at the Dow Centennial Center and you see someone with alien plastered on their chest, your heart breaks. And you love them. And you long for them. Because God has done something and you know that love is longing to be poured out through you. I have a story about that as well. I didn't share it earlier, Pastor Joe, but I want to share it right now. I've been praying for the guys that I work out with at the Dow Centennial Center. And had a chance this last week. I've been praying for a while and then was inspired by Pastor Joe's message on the weekend. And there's this one guy who I was just asking questions about his life. And he told me that at one of the plants out here, one of the reactors went down. And they were worried that they'd have to lose all of their summer holidays and go into shutdown for 90 days and fix it all. It was a big potential mess for all the guys. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying that God helps you. And he's like, okay, yeah, we could use all the help we can get kind of thing, right? And so I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for this, but I don't want you to fix this just so everybody gets a sense of relief. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to ask you to fix this so that you get the glory. And so that this guy, even if it's just him, his eyes are drawn up to God and that God is working. I've been praying that more for people, not just that stuff would get fixed or stuff would get healed, but that they would see that Jesus is alive and real and working. So Monday I went to him and I said, hey, how's it all going? And what's happening out at the plant there? And he's like, you're never going to guess. You're never going to guess. I'm like, I wonder, I think maybe I will. We're so close. We're this close to going to the 90-day shutdown. But we tried one last thing and lo and behold, it started working. And all of us started looking at each other like, how on earth did that happen? This is like some kind of miracle or something. So whatever you're doing, Pastor Craig, he started doing this, you know, at 5:30 in the morning when nobody wants to talk to each other. And we all smell funny. He was like, thank you. I'm like, I was praying so much that that would happen. And he's like, there is some kind of miracle or something. I don't know. That's where we left it. See, that's what this passage is about. You're meant to be a dispenser of this love and to see the life of Jesus touch other people's lives so that the living Christ, you actually see him at work in other people and then your confidence grows. Because he comes through for you. When you confess your sin, you actually feel lighter. Like, oh, there's chains gone from my soul. What? There's miracles that happen as we pray and God starts working and he's as we reflect his life, something happens around us and is way bigger than us. John's saying, I write all these things so that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have eternal life. There's been this idea And maybe it's just me, but I feel like in Western Canada, particularly, and maybe just kind of this season of being a Christian, that you get saved and then one day eternal life comes. We're just kind of sitting around and waiting till I die or Jesus shows up. What do we do now? Friends, we're actually made to see, to experience, and then see the eternal life of God impacting the everyday, impacting the ups and downs, highs and lows, conversations, thoughts, direction, 24/7. Eternity breaking into our lives. Not because we prayed a prayer, but because Jesus has come and God is gracious. And eternal life is here now. The kingdom is here because of Jesus. That's how we know we have eternal life. We see heaven on the move around us. And we're meant to build in that confidence that that's in fact what's going on. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. Pause here for a second. These are amazing words. Half a sentence. Half a sentence that can change your eternity. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The word hear here is about the intention to act. We know when someone's hearing us, but they're like texting or they're watching or they're distracted. Friends, God is never distracted. He's never texting his friends and, Did you hear anything I said? Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's not him. He hears with the intention to act. He's listening. But there's a condition there, according to his will. If we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we asked of him. John's repeating this idea of knowing and asking and asking and knowing and confidence in Jesus. And that's what we're meant to have. That's the way we're meant to live. I write these things to you so that you have confidence toward him, the great God of the universe. Friends, I want you to see today that Jesus opens the door to the Father. Pastor Joe's been telling us about that, and I want you to see it again. That because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, because sin has been defeated, death has been defeated, the enemy has been defeated, the way is open. Just like Pastor Joe was saying, where arms can be raised to the Father. Jesus has made that way open for you and for me. He opens the door because of the cross. He gives you his Holy Spirit so that we can have relationship with God Almighty. The way is open. The door is open. We were separated. And no human being could cross that chasm, but Jesus Christ crossed the chasm and was crucified on a cross so that you could run into the presence of the Father, now and forever. That's amazing grace. He breaks sin. He breaks self. He breaks the sinister power so that we can conform. We have conforming power. Friends, we do have enemies. We do have opposition. We are in a war every single day. There's indwelling sin that we have to fight against, our flesh. The New Testament unpacks that for us to help us to understand that. But ultimately, the ultimate power over us because of Jesus is Jesus and not our sin. It's not our self-confidence. We don't have self-confidence that can carry us all the way through because we're going to rise and fall and have challenges and all kinds of circumstances. And there's an enemy. There's an opposition. The devil wants to keep us from running into the presence of the Father, to keep us from being dispensers of love, to keep us from saying, I am a son or a daughter of God, to keep us from walking like Jesus walked, to keep us from confessing our sin and being cleansed from all our unrighteousness. The enemy wants to oppose that, and he seeks constantly to frustrate the plans of God. But Jesus is more powerful. His word is stronger, and he gives us the ability through him, through his spirit, through his word, to conform to his image, to become like him. We have conformed power through Jesus. So I want you to know we can conform for confidence. Normally, when we talk to people, we don't want them to conform to be like their friends or conform to be like this person or that person. Conforming typically is thought of in a negative sense. However, in the scriptures, we are called to conform to Christ, to conform for confidence. That's what we're called to. That's what John, not just in 1 John 5, but throughout the book, he's talking about conforming to the image of Christ, to become like him. Conform to what? God's will. God has a will. He has a desire. He has intentions. He's not just being God and I'm holy and that's the way it is. He has a plan. He has intentions. He has a desire. And he wants you to conform to that. How do we know God's will? That's one of these great questions that people wrestle with all the time. If we want to know God's will, we have to go to God's word. Know God's word to know God's will. Friends, how much time are you spending in this word? How much time, if you're wrestling to know his will, are you diving into these words? Part of why Charles Wesley sang the song, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues," is because he was saturated in the word of God and he saw the glory and the amazing reality of this word and who God is. Friends, if you want to know his will, you need to know his word. Is that a part of your pattern of life? Is that a part of your story? We need to search it out. Even if you were to just go over and over and over and over 1 John, you'd find richness and depth and amazing realities here. Even in these three verses, there's something profound that happens as we encounter God and he encounters us, as he reads us and speaks to us, and he hears us. If you want to know his will, you need to know his word. We need to conform to his commands. Conform to his commands, God's commands. John tells us in these words what it is that we would love as Jesus loved. We would love as Jesus loved. He says in the Gospel of John, no greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friend. Friends, we're meant to live that commandment out. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Are you conforming? Jesus gives us the power and the ability, the opportunity through him, through his spirit, by his word, to conform to that. Are you becoming more and more like that? The great command to love. Are you conforming to God's pleasure? John tells us in 1 John what God's pleasure is, that we would believe and know the Son of God. And as Pastor Joe explained to us, this idea of knowing and believing doesn't have just a rational side to it, where then the rest of our lives are detached from our knowledge. When we know something, according to the New Testament, it's all-encompassing, where we have this life that's connected to our knowledge. Because now we're living out God's pleasure. We're actually living out God's pleasure each and every day, 24/7. Are you conforming to God's pleasure? Part of how we do that, and we see this in 1 John 5, 13 to 15, is that we need Jesus to know Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, we're such a fiercely independent culture. We have masks. We have barriers. We don't want people to know us. We want to hide and evade and live our own lives. But look at the crucial piece here. And this is the confidence we have towards him, that if we ask anything, friends, are you asking God anything? Does he know what's actually going on in your life, in your soul? Or is it always masks and barriers and acting and falsehood? Are you just putting up, oh, he's trying to get me, but no, oh, well, I, you, hide, here he comes. We need to know Jesus. We need to need him so that we know him. Are you asking him anything? Are you actually talking to him? Are you actually listening to what he has to say? Are you hearing him because you have the intention to act on what he's saying to you? We need Jesus to know Jesus. This is an amazing promise, but it has conditions to it. There's a big if that goes alongside of it. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We need Jesus to know Jesus. Are you talking to him? See, the intention, all of these truths that we find in 1 John, is so that you and I, real people, live in a responsive, receptive, reciprocal relationship regularly. Not just Sundays for a few hours, because I want to go to the barbecue later, and so I'll just show up. There's going to be popcorn. I like popcorn. Responsive, receptive, reciprocal relationship regularly. We know what that's like on a human level. There are certain people. Who texts you the most, right? Who sends you the most emails, or who do you need to communicate with and listen to and spend time with? Some of you are parents and your kids are grown up and you just want them to come over for a nice meal together because you want to listen to them and laugh at their quirky stories. You want to hear what's going on so you can help and be a part of what's going on in their lives. We get that on a human level. How much more? The holy God of the universe, he wants a responsive, receptive, reciprocal relationship. We can't improve his life, but he's always taking our junk from us and flooding us with grace and mercy. It's this beautiful exchange that happens. That's why John writes these things. He doesn't want you just to have more head knowledge. He wants you to experience what it means to have relationship, responsive relationship with the living Christ. You see, in our prayer brings eternal life flooding out here and now. God, he's powerful enough to just, you know, snap his fingers and then everything changes. But the mystery of life with him is that he wants you to talk to him and he wants to speak to you. And then he wants to unfold his kingdom, eternal life with confidence out through your lives. He wants to do life with you. He wants to live a collaborative life with you. He doesn't need you for a single second, but at the same time, mysteriously, he wants you to live that life with him. And your life with him, his life with you, unfolding that together. What could it look like if we live there? What step do you need to take today so that that becomes a greater reality? God's so gracious, he's going to tell you what that is even. You don't need me to tell you. So we're going to take a moment of quiet. And we're just going to ask him, Lord, show me what that next step is for me to live in a responsive relationship with you. And then we're going to sing one last song. Let's pray together.